one more time, if we could just stand real quick, join hands, and let's again pray for the love of God to be made more real to each of us. Can we do that? Can you begin to lift your voices just for a moment and pray for the person on your right and your left that the love of God would be more real to them? Come, Lord. Lord, reveal your presence. Your word says that we would have power to know the height, width, length, and depth of the love of God. So we call on that in Jesus' name, that the love of God would fill this place. The love of God would fill every heart. The love of God would fill every family, every marriage, every single. The love of God would fill each and every one of us. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, open our bodies, our spirits to the love of God, that we are valuable, that you are immeasurable, and yet you love each and every one of us, oh God. Lord, let your love be so real and so deep that it moves us, that it motivates us to go and to care and to share with those around our sphere of life, God. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. Lord, today we talk about Jesus, not ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. And we thank you that your love is real. Make it manifest, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Again, I'm convinced, I'm trying to learn this and grow in the life of the beloved. And if somehow I can grow in that, I know it will really anchor my life and my family. And I think Ephesians 3 really has something for each of us. You know, I used to pray that almost every day because I just got a simple insight. If Paul values that so highly for the church at Ephesus, and he moves them and he prays for them, that, hey, you want to know real power, real fullness in life? Get a revelation of how much he loves you. I'm telling you, that'll make the difference. And notice what it says, you'll be filled to the fullness of God. And when you're filled to the fullness of God, people will see that. People will be drawn to that. People will want what you have. And you actually will be able to say, like Peter said, he said, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. When you know his love, it'll also release his power. Amen? I want to look at a text today in Mark chapter 5. Starting in the end of 4 and moving into 5. And I just want to challenge us and talk to us today about going in the love of God. Thank you so much for your care, your giving, your prayer, and just for being here together today. Thank you, Sam, too, for your friendship and for letting me come and be with you, bro. So, chapter 4. And 5, I alluded to it yesterday, but it's been a very meaningful story for me. As I started reflecting more and I was looking in the scriptures, I was looking to see the love of God. And because I was believing that if Jesus is treating other people this way, that that's the way he wants to treat me. And so I would see myself in the stories that time. And in chapter 4 and 5, we have a very, very fascinating story. Now, you know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He says, Christ's love compels me. I mean, it literally, there's a thrust, there's a push. There's like we have compulsive desires for other things at times. Well, there is a compelling love of God in this man. Because as you know, Paul's on his way to actually arrest Christians. And on his way, as he's going to get them, we don't know if he's on a horse or not. But whatever happened, he was knocked off his feet. He was knocked to the ground, and literally he was blinded. The man who was so learned literally had to become blind so he could truly see. And sometimes we're so puffed up in our knowledge and our self-sufficiency, and we think we're really in control and we know it all, until we get knocked off our feet, then we can truly see what life's about. And he goes, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. It so revolutionized his life that he was compelled and he was moved. And he said, Christ's love compels me because I am convinced. When you are convinced, you will be compelled. Because when you're convinced, he's it. He's the center of life. He's the foundation of it all. then you actually see, and there's love, there's motivation to want to share a bit with somebody. I don't mean preaching in the traditional sense, but just being a person of love and light. Henry Nouwen says, when you know that you're the beloved, he says, and you go as the beloved and sent, you walk into the middle of the world among your co-workers and those around, and literally, you, because you're so stable and secure in God's love, you literally can reflect to the world around you who is trying to prove they're good enough or prove they're valuable. You literally give them a glimpse of what life's really about. You give them a glimpse just by living your life as a secure, loved child of God. Beloved and sent. Beloved and cared for. And we know that was the heart of Jesus, wasn't it? Before he did anything, the Father claims him and says, "You're my son. I love you. I'm pleased." And then he goes, beloved and sent. Beloved and motivated. Beloved and thinking beyond ourselves. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says, Christ's love compels me because I am convinced, and those who know the Lord should no longer live for themselves, but for Him. And that's not always easy, is it? So we see the heart of Jesus, and we get a glimpse of this in chapter 4 of the book of Mark, talking about going in the love of God. When you know it, you go. You do something about it. Verse 35, I want to look at, following, leading into the story in chapter 5. It says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. They were more scared of him than of the storm. They were terrified and said, "Who is this guy?" You know, when you set out on the mission with Jesus and you get involved in what he does in some way, I mean, really, please don't be deceived in thinking to serve God you have to be some traditional minister or a traditional missionary, and that you don't mean as much because you work in a normal vocational position. Don't get deceived by that thought, because there are special callings, but be a person of influence wherever he's called you to. But when you begin to follow out and you get this sense of I'm beloved and sent, and you join him and you follow him, you begin to learn more about him. There's some things you will only learn of Jesus in the place of serving with him, in the place of some kind of involvement in ministry. Philemon verse 6 says it this way. It says, "I've heard about your love for the Lord. I've heard about your love for the saints. But I pray you'd be active in sharing your faith so you know what good things you have in Jesus." These people are on the journey with Jesus, and even though they're walking with him, they still aren't fully clued into who he is. We've been all walking with Jesus to some extent. We know about him, but we really fully don't really know who's in the boat with us, if you know what I mean. We really fully don't know yet the depth of his love for us, if you know what I mean. And as you journey and continue to journey with him, you get more insights. And at times you're like, whoa, so it is true. So it is real. He's the light of the world. We're the light of the world. I remember one time I was praying for a demon-possessed young lady. And as I was praying for her, I said, "In the name of Jesus, I come against you." And she screams and scoots way over, closes her eyes tight, and I say, "Look at me in Jesus' name." And another voice comes out and says, "No, you're too bright." And I thought, what? Too bright? That was so weird. It was so odd. And then I thought, wait a minute. We're the light of the world because he's the light of the world in us. See, as you journey with him, as you serve, you get more insight into who he is. And that's what's happening here. But notice the motive of Jesus here. He says, "Let's go across the sea." He gets his whole ministry team in the boat. and they journey. They face a storm, a terrifying storm, that literally professional fishermen thought they were going to die. This was a major storm or a squall that just hit out of nowhere. And there was great fear and great worry. Now notice something. They say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? You know, when we're going through it, we question, do you really care? Look what I'm going through. I mean, it's like you're sleeping, like you're not listening to me. Well, guess what? Jesus is not worried about the things we're worried about, is he? He gets up, peace be still. Storm's finished. But Jesus had an intent to cross the sea. I want to talk for just a moment about the motive of mission. We go because we know his love. The motive for any type of sharing, any type of difference making in the world, you can see it so much in the heart of Jesus. In this passage, if you would study some of it, you would realize Jesus first was called to the Jews. He made that clear. But in this situation, he crosses the sea to a Gentile area. He specifically goes apparently out of his way. And then when he lands on the seashore, we see some of the dynamics that go on. And let's look at it in chapter 5. It says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him, and night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name's Legion," he replied, "for we're many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it, told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and they told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus didn't let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and the people were all amazed. Now, notice something here. First of all, Jesus clearly goes out of his way. Another passage that's synonymous with this gives some more details. It was very clear that people knew about this man. He was so violent that nobody would even pass near him. This is a very messed up, hurting man. What we see in the story as well, and what I'm saying by that is there's a great possibility that Jesus heard about that man. Now, all I can do is imply that, but if Jesus the man didn't hear about that man and was moved across the sea for him, we at least know that God knew about that man, and Jesus is God. He knew about that man. And so this entire mission, notice what it results in. It results in one person being touched. Jesus literally crosses the entire Sea of Galilee. I've seen it. It is a long ways. With his entire ministry team, his entire mission trip, if you will, for one single human being. And if Jesus will cross the sea for him, he'll cross the sea for you. Jesus is the God who sees. He sees our hearts. He sees our pain. He sees our anguish. And Jesus is moved by that. When Hagar was sent away from Abraham, she's got her son Ishmael. She's about to die. She cries out, and then God shows up on the scene and basically saves her life. And she calls out, "He's the God who sees me. He's the God who hears me. He is the God who sees what you're going through today." And He doesn't just see it and say, "Oh, well, that's tough. You know, you got yourself in a mess again. Too bad." No, He is a father who, any father who is somewhat healthy, if they see their kid hurting, they're going to move right there. When my kids are up there upstairs or something happens, I hear a thump. I'm up the stairs. It's the same with God, who's perfect, full of love. See, because God's love, it moves Him, and Jesus is moved to cross the sea for one man. The motive of mission. We go because we know His love. We go because we care. We get involved and help Jane, and we get involved and actually care about our coworkers because He's loved us. We love because He first loved us. Paul was so touched. He was like, you know, he says in Romans 10, "My prayer and heart's desire for Israel is that they would be saved." He was moved for the Jewish people because he was one of them, and he knew how blind he was and how lost people could be, that they missed the Messiah, they missed the answer, they missed the hope of life. Because Paul knows, he goes. Because Jesus knows, he goes. He knows about his need. And that leads us to the focus of mission. The focus of all mission is really not on the masses. The focus on how we change the world is by touching the one. And you know what, maybe if there's a part I don't really like about this story, is I really wish they would have named the man. Because this isn't just some freak. This isn't just that crazy man that sometimes maybe you see someone on the street and they're slumped over and, you know, their limbs are thrashed and they're dirty and they're smelly, and you kind of wonder. Sometimes we have a view that dehumanizes people, that makes people seem less than. Well, certainly this man was seen as a freak by people all over. They were so afraid of the man, they wouldn't even go near him. Nobody could even help the guy, but yet Jesus sees this guy. He's a person. It's not a demon we're actually talking about. We're talking about a human being that's been afflicted. And God cares about that. I think Jane told a story about somebody who would run outside, you know, naked, no clothes. Well, in this story too, this man wouldn't wear clothes. He was thrashed. And he would cut himself. Have you ever heard of cutters before? At Vanguard University Christian School, we have some cutters in secret, of course. What a cutter does is, a cutter is a very psychologically broken human being. In fact, what they do, they'll cut themselves. And the reason they'll cut themselves is because the internal pain is so great that by cutting themselves, first of all, they might be punishing themselves. Because they feel so horrible about who they are that they just cut. And secondly, by inflicting pain here, you might forget about for a moment the pain here. This is a psychologically broken man. And when we're psychologically broken and we're hurting, guess what? Demons feast on that. One guy writes about demons, that demons are like rats that go around the garbage. If you want to get rid of the rats, what do you need to do? Get rid of the garbage. But somebody who's been so thrashed has no more strength to fight them off. And then the devil comes in. And notice here what we have here. I'm talking about this is a man. This is a human being. And the freakiest man probably in the whole neighborhood around the sea could have been this man, and yet Jesus has not forgotten about him, but Jesus is moved by him. And the people that you see all over the place, he cares. And because He cares and we've been touched, we care. Or we want to grow toward that type of care. And notice the devil's plan. When we talk about motive of mission, it's because we care. Love of God. When we talk about focus of mission, hey, rather than try to take on a big focus of we're going to win all of China or all of the Philippines or all whatever, let's just touch one life at a time. Let's care about one human being. Let's sit a while and chat with them. Let's minister to them. Let's reach out to them. If you reduce it to one, which is really how people deeply grow anyway, it's much more meaningful, much more manageable, much more possible with the help of God. Right? There's one calling right now. Who will go? Who will go? Notice what happens here, though. The story is very fascinating because notice the devil is involved in afflicting a human being. We know that the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Wherever there is stealing, killing, destruction, the devil certainly has been involved. Of course, human choices are also involved in all that. But notice what the devil's plan is, because when he is cast out, he says, I want to go into the pigs. It might appear that Jesus has compassion on the devil. Right? If you think, well, why would he let, you know, why would he give the devils their way, you know? First of all, by Jews, pigs were considered unclean animals. So an unclean spirit goes among unclean animals, and the pigs then immediately rush into the sea. The sea was thought about as an abyss, the place where demons would be sent. So in many ways, Jesus is letting them go to the very place they need to go, to the abyss, to the depths. But you see the intent of the devil. See, the devil, he, as compared to a pig, when the devil enters the pig, which is a mindless animal, he has complete control. And what does he do? He carries out his wish, total destruction. But when the devil is in a human, we've been made in the image of God. There is some strength, some holding on, some being able to battle some of it. But this man is so overwhelmed by the demonic powers, he can barely take it anymore. And notice what the devil does to a human being. Drives the human being away from relationship. If you are driven away from relationship, and that's why we've talked a lot about insecurity in the last 2 days. If your spirit, your heart is so insecure, and there's a difference between drawing away to be with the Lord, because you're going to... But some people are just, they're loners, they're on their own, and you could be afflicted. God's desire, He made you for relationship. So the series you're going to have in the near future on relationships, that is part about the meaning of life. Spirituality is not just walking with the invisible God and keeping your devotion time. Spirituality, I've heard somebody say, and this is kind of how I'm defining it, spirituality is living life as God meant it to be lived with Him at the center. That's our goal. Our goal is to live life by the original design. How was the original design made? The original design was people walking with God. Walking with each other with no shame, no fear, known, intimate relationships, real relationships, authentic relationships, and walking with purpose as it relates to the world around them. If you're lacking some meaning or some depth or you need some type of motivation or growth, think about those areas. If you've got your walk with God, that's awesome. But are you walking with people who know you? Because people have been put there to bring fullness in life. And thirdly, have you tapped your true vocation as it relates to going? I'm telling you, there's something. If you don't have a going dimension, an active dimension of some outlet of sharing, you might become like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead because it all flows in, but it doesn't flow out. If you want your spiritual life rejuvenated, tap into the going mode. Somehow step into that flow and begin to give. I don't just mean finance, but begin to get involved in someone's life with a caring, sharing dimension. The devil drives people away from relationship. God's design is for us to have good community, authentic relationships, and a true vocation that we can live and be part of God's redemptive purpose in the whole world. If you're missing any of those dimensions, then grow in them. Ask God to help you in them. So the devil afflicts this man. His intent is to destroy. And then, of course, what happens? Jesus has the power to make the difference. This man is so radically touched by the authority of Jesus. The demons come out, and literally, this guy didn't have to go through a lot of counseling. He was just, it's like he's back. He was on a vacation. He was gone. It wasn't a good vacation. But he was literally out to lunch in the touch of the Lord because of the love of the Lord. This guy is now, oh. He probably noticed right away that he's been driven and naked. He's got scars on him, and he's probably wondering. But he is so deeply touched. The fruit of this of the ministry of being involved is that people's lives are changed. When you taste that, remember what Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you. I'll make you a person who cares about others. I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll make you. And the good news is he will make us. He can literally create something in us that we don't have of our own. We don't have the courage to share. She said the scariest thing is getting up to speak. Somehow, if we just follow him around, we follow his ways around, we get involved in what Jesus... It doesn't mean just coming to Bible study. For them, follow him meant go where I go, listen to what I say, study with me, learn with me, hear what I'm saying, but watch me and then get involved. When you begin to see your life matter in another human's being life because of God's touch, because it does something in you that it really creates this desire to want to be a difference maker. I remember being in Peru. I was speaking in the evening service, and then one of my students got up afterward. My student stood up and shared his testimony, how his mom and dad, who were Christians, went through a rough divorce. And there was so much pain and hurt. I got up right after. I made a call for anyone who wants to respond to the Lord. And one of the first guys up there was about 25 years old. A young Peruvian man. He came forward. God was beginning to touch people, and this man was just weeping so deeply. A moment later, I said, is there anyone who wants to testify? And this young man was one of the first to get up. He got up, and he said to me, he said, in the morning at 8 a.m., I was talking to this Peruvian pastor, because I'm a local guy. And he said, I was saying to him that I don't believe in your God. If your God is real, why did my parents get divorced and we live in poverty now? If he's so real, why did that? The pastor just said, just come tonight. Just come tonight. Just come tonight. Somehow the man dragged himself there. And this guy has a rough marriage and he's got this little boy. And when my student got up to share, when you know, you go. When you know, you go. When you know, you begin to share. There's some outlet from your life. He simply shared his story about what he went through, and that young man, 25 years, sitting in the back, was so pierced by the hope that that story brought that he literally rushed forward, and he wept his way. And he, as he's testifying, he's literally sharing how I've never felt anything like this. This love of God is just amazing. It is incredible, and my life has changed. Obviously, we know he needs to work it out. He needs to grow through it. But when you see that dimension, my student is watching that and linking the fact that because my student testified, he was a part of a miracle. And when you taste of that, it creates something in it to want to keep trying. To keep sharing. And I sat there and I remember looking at this guy and he had a son on his shoulders. And I realized that that day my student was used not just to change one guy's life, but quite possibly many generations behind, including that little boy. Because now that little boy is going to not hear from an atheistic dad. That little boy is going to hear about a loving, caring Father God, who despite the evil and trouble and division and hurt in the world, He still loves and cares and He can restore. When you see the fruitfulness of just stepping out, it can light a blaze in you. It makes you, it's like salt. It's like a seasoning to make you want more. It's beautiful. You know, in Timothy it talks about utensils used for common or for noble. And a noble purpose is just getting involved in someone's life and seeing God flow through you and make a difference. We can all do that. We can all be a part of somebody's life and just sharing. And notice what happens here. And I'm wrapping up, so hang in there. The man pleads with Jesus. He is so touched by His love. He's freed. He sees life for the clearest, probably for the first time. He says, "Let me go with you." And you know, you see the crowd coming and they're puzzled by this. They see something so wild when God moved. It was so wild for them that they're like, "Please get away." You know, it's like that Peter, "Away from me, I'm a sinful man." Like, whoa. Because they didn't have an answer for that man. So when they saw Jesus, they literally plead with Him to leave. Can you imagine that? They pleaded with God to leave. Go away from us. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. You know, the church thing comes around. Somebody shares a little. I don't know where you're on your spiritual journey, but somebody shares a little bit. I think one of you was sharing with me how it invited a couple friends. No, it's not for me. It's not for me. We don't even realize that we are sending, we are closing the door. We might even be sending away the very answer. Of course, an insider would say it is the answer, but people won't know until they taste and see for themselves the Lord is good. But this guy is just rocked by the Lord. Can I follow you? Partly, he might have been terrified that if this Jesus who just delivered him leaves, maybe the demons will come back. Or partly it could have been as well, these people aren't too excited. You know, I was kind of mean and violent. Maybe they're going to kill me. I don't know. Who knows what's going on? But he literally says, I want to come with you. I want to. You would think that would be a good thing. Because Jesus is going on, hey, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Come follow me. This one he says, don't follow me. That is really something. It's just amazing. And here's part of the dynamic going on. It's obvious in the story. Jesus is not offended by these Gentile animistic people. He was just too much for him that it freaked him out. And Jesus doesn't get bitter over it, doesn't get frustrated with it, but he leaves a secret weapon. And I venture to say, this man who was demonized encounters the love of God, and now that he knows, you see exactly what happens. And Jesus says, just go now. You know, instead of following me, just go and just tell people. Just tell people what I've done for you. You want to know all you need? All you need to touch a heart? Just tell what He's done. You don't need a big, long training. Training is nice. Training is sweet. Seminary is good. Classes are nice. All the books to read are nice. But you know what? The most powerful thing you have that no one else has is your story. You have your story. And you know what? As you're on the journey of the beloved, understanding the love of God more and more each day, you will have more and more to say. Because He's continuing to write your story. Just share your story. Just share that something meaningful happened Sunday. Something meaningful happened Tuesday morning in my devotion. Something meaningful happened when I was interacting with a friend and he told me this about God. Something meaningful is going on in my life. Can I share that with you? Sounds like you're a little down. Well, hey, this is all that lady in that country did. Hey, he healed me. Can I pray for you? Because He touched me. He can touch you. And that lady who can't even read, she's seen three people raised from the dead. Whoa. I know this lady. For security reasons, most likely I'm not going to go near her this time just because it's a tough time there right now. I've never seen as intense in these moments, especially people that I know pretty close. The woman's armed with nothing but her story. Of course, the love and power of God's there too, right? That's it. We can all do that. We can all do that. And what is so astounding is that the whole region, it was a Gentile region. The Decapolis is 10 cities under Roman rule. They were so scared of Jesus. But the whole region, this guy just tells his story, and everybody knew the freak, right? Everybody knew this guy. So they're probably in the village, you know. Hey, there's that guy. You know, look at the scars are still on his arm. And he comes in, he's in his right mind. He's even clothed. I bet they were relieved. And he just says, I was a cutter. I wanted to die. I lived where the dead were. I was violent. I was mean. I was angry. I had no hope. There was absolutely no human answer for me. And then one day, a man got out of a boat. He stepped on shore, and there was this compulsion in me that drove me, literally, to fall on my knees before him. And he boldly said to the devils that had me, he said, come out of him. And there was this violent shaking. And then I was in my right mind. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. My life has been changed. And I'm so grateful. The story spreads. And the whole Decapolis, 10 cities, goes from afraid to amazed. And do you know what happens? Later on, Jesus goes back to that region. And he has a very fruitful time. Because one man who had an encounter with God's love that would cross the sea, even if you're Christian, he would cross the sea for you. Sometimes we think all he wants to do is get me saved, but not touch my heart. He is the God who crosses the sea for one person. And you know what? If he crossed the sea for one person, with the help and grace of God, I think I can cross from my desk to another. Or I can cross the street. Or I can pick up the phone. Or I can email a friend. And just share what he's done for me. Not much technique to that other than care. Just simply close with this story. And I talked about experiencing the love of God. And really, I feel grace today and strength, but certainly in my human self, I feel very weak these days. And I don't have it figured out. There's many times I'm still insecure, maybe competitive, probably less than I was. And I talked to you about how God sheds abroad his love. He literally, to know God's love, there are moments when the revelation of the power of the Spirit comes, and literally it is out of this world. And I told an experience that I had where the love of God just literally, when I got honest in a community, I just felt this presence of God out of this world, literally. It just filled me. And it was this warm liquid. I don't even know how to describe it. It was like waves of his healing. And it just literally, it flooded my being. And I took note of it as I'm sitting there. No one else knows, but I was like, whoa. It was like God was hugging the deepest part of my heart. It was beautiful. And literally, that is scriptural. Romans says He pours out the love of God in our hearts. And frankly, sometimes we just need Him to do that. We need a creative miracle. I mean, I'm a kid who wasn't hugged. My mom was so broken, there was no, and my dad, I never saw him for a day. So maybe I need more than you do. I don't know, but it's real. I wish I could just abide in it more, you know? It's tricky. But I had a third experience. I talked about a second one. I'm not going to mention that. I was in Mexico. I was on HATB. He knows of this mission trip. We had 300 students that year. We were around this campfire. It was nighttime. And I'd been feeling, it seems when I'm feeling the weakest, I'm just learning this, but there's a lot of times I'm just feeling really weak, really troubled or struggling. And it seems those moments are when the greatest manifestations of good comes. I don't understand it. But we're praying around this fire, and my students are we're singing songs, we're having a good time, and every day we'd go out in the day and we'd serve the Mexican people, serve with churches and all this. And that night as we're praying, suddenly I had this impression on my heart that God wants to touch alcoholics. God wants to deliver them. God wants to, and so I said, students, hey, let's pray for alcohol. I don't know, I just feel this sense God wants to do something among them. So we, you know, in the spirit of prayer hit those guys. And we were like really going after it in prayer. And as we were praying and saying, God, touch them. Use us, God. You know, the prayer ended. I wake up in the morning feeling weak as can be. And there was a guy that was really humble who was used mighty in healing. I said, bro, can you pray for me? Because I just don't know how to see all this stuff happen. I feel powerless. He prayed for me. Then right after that, this is the very next morning, we get in the van, we're going to deliver some Bibles. We pull up to this church. As we drive right in front of this Mexican church, we get out, and just almost immediately, within 30 seconds, a man kind of stumbles up, and he says in Spanish, he says, my name is David, I'm an alcoholic, I've come to be delivered. And I thought, whoa. I mean, coincidence, huh? It was just astounding. The man walks up, and I've been feeling so powerless, so I walk over. I'm thinking, this is incredible. God is doing something. And I reach out my hand. And remember, this is a street guy. This is a dirty guy. This is a thrash guy. This is a guy that people don't really care much. They just don't want him to cause problems. And as I touch the man's hand, it was like suddenly this man became the most significant human being on my entire radar screen in life. Because immediately when I touched him, I felt this incredible surge of the purest form of love I've ever known. I couldn't even pray. I just literally, I took his hand, I just wept. And immediately, he starts manifesting demons. I didn't even say Jesus. It was just, you know, I'm weeping, and whoa, this compassion just began to flow through me. And I've got his hand, and after I try to speak a few words, I'm saying, Lord, just touch him. This guy's literally throwing up, not the elder, he's throwing up demons right on the street. And a moment later, he's sitting there in his right mind. I don't understand it. I'd love for that to always be in my heart. I don't even know how to make the power work. You know, we say, here's the steps. Yeah, believe, it's faith, or it's, you know, quote scriptures, or it's pray loud. I really don't know. But I just know that day, there was this love that would cross the sea for one guy that no one cares about. Really, literally. It touched me that day. It was real. And I drove away after a moment. Of course, we tried to get the guy connected to a church and all that. We were right there at a church. And I'm still weeping. And I look at my friend Ivan, and I just said, Ivan, this is the purest form of life I've ever felt. The compassion of Jesus for another human being that I didn't even know. Beloved and sent, when we know, we go. Power of God that is so real. But it's not raw power. It's power that's full of love. When you know, you go, and you can go. You can cross your desk. You can cross the street. You can pick up a phone. Go deeper on your healing journey and watch the love of Jesus turn around the very things that were sent to destroy you, like this man in the story. He'll turn around the very things sent to destroy you and dominate you, and he'll turn them around, and he'll turn it into a sword to go set the captives free. God loves you, and he would cross the sea for you. And then we can get involved in being his hands and feet to others. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We need his help to do it, though, don't we? But he is here. Let's stand to our feet. We're done. Let's have our team come up. I'm going to hand it to Sam in a moment. You know, I imagine there's many needs here today. I'm honestly just thinking in a couple directions for the moment, but maybe you have your own desire or need. If you need to leave, certainly feel free. Slip out as you need to. But there's times in my life I feel like I'm the guy waiting on the seashore and I just need him. I mean, I just need him to touch me. And maybe obviously you're not in the tombs today, right? You're in church. But there are things deep in your heart that you just don't have the answer for. You just don't have it. And I wonder how many days that guy just thought, is there any hope? And then there was that moment. Beautiful moment that came. And you know what? Even though if we don't get that moment when we want it, we can at least ask for it. And we can say, Jesus, I just need you to touch me. And so in just a moment, if you're in that state, you're just in a state of need today. We're going to invite you in a moment to come and have the team and Sam and others just minister to you. Just lay a hand on you, say you're not alone, and pray for the love and power of Jesus to touch you. Or maybe on the other side, you have kind of this burden, this desire to be used, but you kind of feel limited and maybe a bit locked up. And you just somehow want that to flow more freely. You desire his touch, his love for another human being to grow deeper in you that moves you to share. And that's the other thing. I'd just like to bless that in your life if you want prayer for that. So I'm going to pray, and as I do, I'll hand it to Sam, and then maybe you can come forward, and we'll just pray in the grace of God for you. Lord, we thank you that you crossed the sea for one guy, for one girl. And Lord, we just say, we believe that you would cross the sea for me. You'd cross the sea for us. We just, even though we don't feel it or sometimes see it, we just take the story at face value and we say, that's the kind of God we have. He doesn't necessarily go out of his way because we are the goal. We are your desire. We are the apple of your eye. And today we need you. For people in need today, I pray for the gracious breakthrough of the love of God to flood their hearts with hope. shed abroad the love of God in the hearts of the needy today through the hope that comes by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as you touch us, we pray that you would give us some kind of courage, some kind of natural, just caring ability, just to share with somebody about your goodness. So make us more like you, we pray. And we thank you. Empower us and fill us with the life of the beloved. Fill us with the love of God for other human beings. We know it's real. You moved with compassion, and so we're saying, God, help us grow and move with compassion. Jesus, bless your people today. Those that might be seeking you and not know you fully yet. Make your face clearer to them, we pray. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you came from heaven to earth and across the sea to love us and free us. We bless you. If you want prayer today, just make your way forward. And Sam, why don't you come? Either of those areas, we're going to sing, and if you want to come.
I encourage you to worship the Lord, and if you want to receive some prayer for any of those things that Tom was talking about, for just any reason at all, you just want some ministry, just come and Poyoung, why don't you just lead us in worship? As we continue to minister, if you feel as you're sitting there and maybe praying, if you feel like going to a brother or sister and just spending some time and encouraging them and praying for them, you are blessed and released to do that. You know, as Tom was saying, that you know, God touches us and He sends us. If you just sense that you just want to go pray with someone, or you just know a brother or sister that's in need, I just encourage you, just go and just lay hands and just minister to that person.
Stand and let's sing to the Lord.
Spirit leads me on the power of your love.
Our sincere prayer, God, not just a song, Lord. God, draw us close, God. Or that we could be, God, all that you've called us to be, Lord. And I pray, God, that your love, Lord, would continue to manifest, God. Lord, we know that you love us, God, in our heads. God, would help us to feel it, God, or where it really matters, deep down in our soul. And let us be moved and motivated by that love, God, in all that we do. Lord, I pray for opportunities, God, to share, Lord, just the wonderful things that you put into our lives and you've done for us, God. And Lord, and when the time comes for us to share, God, we pray for the strength and the courage, God, knowing that you have put that within us, Lord. God, everything we need is already within us, God. We bless you. We thank you. Thank you for Tom and his ministry. Lord, bless him as he moves on to Nepal and Bhutan, God. Lord, let your power flow, God, in all that he does, Lord God. We thank you. And we bless, God, this church as well. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. Oh, we just want to continue to love you more and more, God, day by day, month by month, year by year, Father. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Amen. Won't you hug someone next to you? God bless you. Please don't leave today. We got a beautiful carrot cake that we're going to cut and celebrate. If you've not received an invitation, come see me. I have something to give to you. All right? So have a great week. We'll see you next week. Let's bust the cake out, huh?